Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air. All you gotta do is put a
drink in my hand. That's what she said. Crazy town full of neon dreams.
Everybody plays, everybody sings. That just happened.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on!
We
come
ready.
On! Y'all ready?
They ready?
We ready?
Come on! I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Hello and welcome to a rainy installment of the Channel Seed podcast. Feels like we were saying this last week as well. I'm Chris Williams, joined as always by Adam Gray. He is our director of sales at Cyclone Fanatic. We have a great relationship with Channel Seed. We want to thank them for their continuing sponsorship of the podcast here at channel.com here from CycloneFanatic.com. A little bit of a stumbly intro, but Adam, you're always looking to help some businesses, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Just like we like to think we've done with Channel Wilson Toyota over the years, Adam Gray Insurance back in the day. How does somebody get in touch with you? Because the thing is, it's like you can buy a boring old billboard, or you can put an ad in the newspaper that nobody reads, or
you can be plastered on the best Iowa State website in America.
If you want to connect with Cyclone fans, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is to be on our website.
Thank you.
To be on the radio being promoted by Chris Williams right here as he talks about, you know, going to channelseed.com.
Here's the deal. I'm not a farmer, but if I was, I would buy all my seedsmanship needs with Channel Seed.
Absolutely. That's what you tell all the farmers you talk to, right?
I do.
Well.
Actually, I do talk to a lot of farmers, too. That's one of
you know, down in God's country, I'm sure you talk to quite a bit.
Channel Seed has quite the presence in Clarinda, Iowa right now. I can guarantee you that.
That's good to hear.
Brother-in-law is a farmer.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
Yeah, I'll have down in Clarinda.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He's got a day job, but then he helps Dad on the farm and the office. Yeah, and I know my share fair of farming.
I bet they're loving this rain right now, aren't they?
Oh, they're loving it, man. We got to dip into that drought. We got to keep going.
We do.
I'm sure the seedsmen listening right now are pretty pumped up about it. My wife keeps complaining, and Ashley, don't forget where you're from. Ashley, my wife, grew up. You know, her parents come from farm families. Her dad did. I mean, Ashley grew up on the farm, and I'm like, don't forget where you're from. This is good.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't mind the 40 degrees as long as it's raining. Now, don't give me 40 degrees and sunshine. If it's going to be 40 degrees at this
point. You want the gloominess?
I'm fine with it as long as it's raining.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what?
Bring on the rain.
I love the rain. My yard is looking better every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, a nice assist from A+ to make my yard look really good as well.
Yeah. They came and they did a little fertilizer last week for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they do the where they sharpen the blades in your mower.
Yep.
That's kind of a cool service.
That's really cool. Change the oil for you so you don't have to worry about the hassle to clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do it all there at A+.
All right. Well, we've plugged the sponsors here in the first 3 minutes, and that's good. They're the ones who pay the bills here at Cyclone Fanatic, and we appreciate that. Spring game, the Cyclone Gridiron Club spring game coming up on Saturday. We're going to get to that. Let's talk about the breaking news today. Really, it happened yesterday, last night. Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State returning to Travis Ford's team next year. And I'll say it right now, Adam. The Kansas Jayhawks, the streak, is in dire jeopardy right now.
We've heard this. We've heard people say that every year for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but you've never had a trio like Oklahoma State has of three NBA players and Marcus Smart, who would have been a top 5 pick this year.
Yes.
Markell Brown, who people forget led Oklahoma State in scoring last year.
He did.
And LeBrian Nash, who is a future first-round draft pick in the NBA.
Not anymore. He'll be sliding down to the second round, probably come next year.
I think he's a first-round pick, and we can debate.
Okay.
The fact is he's got age working against him now.
He does.
Thing. But it's got the Williams stamp of approval right now, April 17th, 2003. And y'all know how big of a Bill Self lover I am.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to?
Absolutely I'm going to do it.
Let's hear it.
Stamp it right now. Oklahoma State, Big 12 champs, 2013-14.
Love it.
Yep.
Who's coaching their team next year?
It doesn't matter when you have that much talent. This is okay. Travis Ford, but he's not Scott Drew. Okay, this is not Baylor. Here's the deal about Travis Ford.
He's never been to the lead
because
eight.
Name me one of the smartest and high basketball IQ point guards in all of college basketball. It's Marcus Smart. Really takes away from the whole lack of help from the sideline. This is a top 10 team to start the season. This is your Big 12 championship team next year.
Well, here's where I'm going to just disagree.
Okay.
I think they're a top 10 team. I think they're loaded. I think they're a team that come the NCAA tournament next year, nobody's going to want to play them. But still, in the Big 12 tournament, you got to go to Fog Allen and win. I don't think they're going to do that. Kansas still is going to be a hard team to beat at home.
I'm not saying Kansas is going to suck. I'm saying that Oklahoma State is going to be better.
But here's my thing. I think Oklahoma State still loses four games, and Kansas loses three or four. Best case scenario, they're gonna split.
If you looked at how bad the rest of the Big 12 is going to be.
It's terrible. I said all year has been terrible this year, too.
Well, yeah, it wasn't good this year, obviously. But it wasn't as bad. Though, it did get better throughout the year.
Because they were playing each other.
Well, no, not even that, though. Come on, use some common sense. Don't be an irrational fan. I hate it when you turn into an irrational fan.
Me? You're calling me an irrational fan?
Yes, you always are.
I'm sorry.
That's why we bring you on.
I forgot Kansas State and Oklahoma State played really well in the Big 12 tournament, or in the NCAA tournament this year.
Okay, so you're going to judge an entire season based off of upsets in the NCAA tournament?
But non-conference wasn't very good, and the NCAA tournament wasn't very good. And so the only time they actually looked respectable was when it was Big 12 play.
The reason their non-conferences were so bad, though, I mean, you had coaching turnover. You had a ton of newcomers. Iowa State was the same way. They didn't look very good in the non-conference.
Yeah, I agree.
It's because of the turnover. They all of those teams got better throughout the season. I don't think you can debate that.
No, I agree they got better, but other college basketball teams got better as well.
Yeah.
So they are what they are. Big 12 basketball is Big 12 basketball is Big 12 basketball, as Chris Williams would say.
But now you're being way too negative about the league last year. This year is going to be bad.
Okay.
You're going to have... In my opinion, now you've got this is where I rank it right now. I like Oklahoma State now with this news. Kansas 2, Kansas State 3, because they do return enough.
Yep.
And Bruce Weber is a pretty decent X's and O coach. I question his ability to recruit there. But that really won't come into play until Martin's guys are completely out of the picture. He'll still win next year. Kansas State's a 5 or 6 loss team in the conference. And then I think it's Iowa State or Baylor and everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma lost a lot of players.
Yeah, and Kruger, they had good young talent. People forget that he had some good freshmen on that team, too. They're not going to be at the Texas Tech TCU level by any means.
No.
But I see Oklahoma on the same level as a West Virginia next year. I think Bob Huggins takes a step forward. Now, I don't think they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, but...
Who does he have coming in next year? Because he's losing a lot, too. Isn't he? Didn't he kick about 3 or 4 players out of there?
Yeah, but here's my take on the old Huggy Bear. As I think he's a good enough coach where he realized after that game at Iowa State, listen, dudes, we've got to change some stuff up to be able to play in this league. I think that he's got enough guards coming back next year. I think they're going to be competitive. When you factor in how bad Texas Tech and TCU are going to be, West Virginia takes a step forward in the league.
Oh, well, I would agree.
There's no doubt.
I mean, Bob Huggins' track record alone just shows that he's not going to be down very long.
No. So, but my point is, I think this is the worst Iowa State team in 3 years. And I say worst, that sounds bad. But
most
you know
experienced.
What? Correct. Yes. I mean, the one you should have the lowest amount of expectations for. But I think in the preseason polls.
I'm already seeing the boards blowing up right now. Chris Williams calls this team the worst.
That's fine.
I'm seeing it right now.
And seconds afterward, I corrected my poor choice of words.
It doesn't matter.
But my thing is the expectations realistically should be the lowest for this team, but it's going to be picked in the preseason the highest.
You really think so?
Yeah.
No, actually, I would tend to agree with
you. It absolutely is because
you're right.
Media, we know it's a coach's game. College basketball is a coach's game. There's not a lot of guys out there with a hotter name than Hoiberg right now. And when you have what now is going to be the second best 1-2 combo of returning players, not saying overall, I'm saying returning players from last year, which is what media looks at in Edgem and Niang, I think they're picked fourth in the preseason poll.
I would actually tend to agree with you. Now that thinking about it, when you first said that, I thought that was completely off base, and now that I'm thinking about it and you explained it, I agree with you.
I don't
you.
Generally say things without thinking it out.
I'm learning that from you.
But no, for real, I mean,
just because you think it out doesn't mean it's right, though,
I think,
still.
But I think Hoiberg has proven over the 3 years he's been here now, I mean, it's kind of like Rhodes. At some point, people will quit underestimating Rhodes, and I don't think it's going to be this year. But you know, think about Phil Steele. He's picked Iowa State to do what, like
3 wins every
yeah,
year?
Every year, and he keeps saying, I can't keep picking against Rhodes, and he keeps doing it, and Rhodes keeps burning him. It's kind of like, you know, that team in Vegas that, you know, when the odds are out and they constantly beat it. I think Hoiberg is proving himself now in the coaching community as well as being an elite X's and O's guy. I think he really has proven that. And when you factor in the Edgem Niang combo with the weakness of the league, I think they're picked fourth. I think even over Baylor's the wild card right now. You really don't know. I don't. It's hard to tell because you don't know what those guys are doing, and two, what Scott Drew might pull out of the hat here in the late recruiting period. It's hard to tell with Baylor. So I would put them at the wild card, maybe the team that could hop ahead of Iowa State, but I doubt it. If Jefferson and Austin both go pro, you're already losing Pierre Jackson. They had good freshmen on their team this year, but I don't think they're proven enough to be picked over Iowa State.
Absolutely not. No, and I say Austin's got to go pro, but you know what? I said the same thing about Marcus Martin. We're sitting here today, and he's coming back.
I think it's different, though. You know what? It's really not. Point guards and centers are fairly comparable when you're talking NBA draft. I mean, they're both hard to come by. I think that Smart. I love Marcus Smart. You know, I'm a big Bulls fan. I would love that kid to play for the Chicago Bulls.
Well, yeah, you'd have a tough point guard rather than that Rose guy who keeps sitting out, even though he's healthy.
Oh, come on,
that's a fair shot.
I don't believe so.
You don't think that's a fair shot?
No, I don't believe that's
Is he
fair
healthy?
Shot. You know what? Like, who are you to say if he's healthy or not?
He's saying he's healthy. I'm taking his word for it. He's up there throwing 360 dunks in practice and. And then he can't go out and play because he's not mentally ready. I don't know.
I've never blown out my knee the way that he did. So until I do, I cannot kill the guy for that.
Okay.
I know people who have, and I do know there's a major mental obstacle when it comes to that.
I believe that, but here's...
You have to be able to have confidence that you can cut when you're playing basketball.
Williams, who's my favorite basketball player?
LeBron.
No. Come on. Get out of here. But even LeBron. No, Kobe Bryant. You think Kobe Bryant right now would be sitting out if he was in Derrick Rose?
Is Kobe going to come back?
Absolutely he's going to come back because he's a warrior, unlike Derrick Rose and your Chicago Bulls.
You just wait, man.
Sorry for it to go off on that little tangent, but back to Marcus Smart now. He is an elite player. He was going to be a top three pick in the NBA draft, top five, worst case scenario. How much is Oklahoma State paying him to come back?
They're not. Come on. Now that's an unfair shot.
I mean, but sir, why would he come back? I don't get it.
Well, I think, but
he's not coming back for his degree because he's going to go pro after next year.
Probably, but I think Marcus Smart though. I mean, he's not the traditional one and done type guy when you create that profile. I mean, he's a very well rounded human being. Do you know much about him? I mean, he's a very good kid.
He's very much
a leader. And I think probably knowing what I do know about Marcus Smart, getting knocked out in the NCAA tournament like that, probably I think he's the guy who's like, man, I still got something to prove in college. Where a lot of those guys just don't care. They're just, you know, they're checking that one-year ticket to the NBA. I don't see him being of that mold, though. I think he legitimately feels like, and I think all three of those guys, it's kind of like the big three, you know. I think that they had to have come together and said, we got something to prove this year.
Well, coming from what you're saying, then, this seems very comparable to North Carolina 2 years ago when Harrison Barnes,
yep.
Zeller, and those guys all came back. Harrison Barnes would have been a top five pick in the NBA draft.
Even Trey Burke in Michigan this year.
Yeah, he's already said he's going pro.
No, I'm talking from last year, though.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think that there was something. I read some stories about him really wanting to get to that title game, and I think that's the same conversation with Oklahoma State.
Trey Burke was never a top five pick in the draft, though.
No, but it's the same story, though, where guys coming together and they want to make a run at this thing, and I think that those guys getting knocked out in the first round had to have a huge say in that.
That I do respect. I mean, if a kid wants to go and his dream his whole life was to win a national championship and cut down the nets and go to the Final Four, stick around and do it. That's great. I don't know. If it was me and I was a top five pick in the draft, I'd go.
If it was my kid, I would tell him to go pro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make the money.
But, you know, it's kind of refreshing to see a somebody go against the grain, though.
It is.
I don't mind that. So, okay, there you go. Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 next year. You heard it here first.
From Chris, not from me. Give me Kansas.
April 17th. Death, taxes, and Bill Self. The only three guarantees in life, says Adam Gray. Let's move on. Let's talk a little football.
Yeah, let's do it.
Spring game coming up on Saturday. We've got a preview show. So while you're tailgating at Jack Trice Stadium, flip it on 1460 KXNO at 1245. A little bit of an odd start time, but there's a reason for that. We're going to lead right into KXNO's Cyclone Radio Network coverage of the game that starts at 1:45. So for an hour and a half before the game, when you're in the tailgate lot, you can listen to pregame. Wilson Toyota of Ames, Tron Smith, and me will be broadcasting from the Cyclone Gridiron Club's tent. They're having a little party there. Austin Arnaud's going to stop by, give us some perspective on some of these young guys who are in the program that Austin has gotten to see here over the last couple of weeks. Always like to get Austin's perspective. Again, 1245 to 1:45 is that show, the Wilson Toyota preview show. Again, coming up on 1460 KXNO. Who is your okay? I'm gonna pose this question to you. Who, and this doesn't have to be like, who do you think is going to have the best career? My question would be, who are you most excited to watch on Saturday? Give me a couple of guys.
I'll give you top three.
Okay, first, yeah, give me top three.
First is Grant Rohatch.
Okay,
and the
that's
reason being
very fair.
We've seen Sam Richardson. I like Sam Richardson's game a lot. We were down there at Kansas when he absolutely had a fantastic coming out party there. But I want to see if this Rohatch, who's been hyped since he signed with Iowa State, he's been one of the more highly hyped Iowa State quarterbacks, if he lives up to kind of what we thought he might be. So I'm interested to see him. I've never had a chance to see him. Aaron Wimberly, heard a lot of hype about him. I want to see this speed. I want to see if he can make some guys miss, break a couple big runs. And then the third, I'm going all offense. I'm an offensive guy here.
That's all right.
Dondre Daly.
Yeah, he would be on my list too.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Daly and what he can do.
Daly received high praise from Paul Rhodes in yesterday's press conference, saying he's a guy who's making a push, whatever that means. But I think it means he's getting better as the spring goes on. So, yeah, he would be on my list too. I think Dondre Daly actually, I mean, I think he sees some legitimate PT as a redshirt freshman next year.
And this is a crazy thing. Dondre Daly's only 17 years old right now.
Yeah, he reminds me, you know, a lot of Quentin Bundridge at that age.
Yeah.
I think that could be a pretty formidable 1-2 receiving combination in years to come. I really do. I remember when Daly got on campus and they were salivating over that kid last year.
I remember at the recruiting party that we held a couple years, or when he first committed, and I asked a couple of the assistant coaches, who's the guy that you signed this year that you're most excited about? I had a couple people that told me Dondre Daly is the guy.
Well, he's just so lengthy, and he's big, and like you said, he's still young. He's very raw, and it's just a position of need. I mean, they need anybody.
Absolutely.
I mean, we go on this tangent, seems like, every year.
You need playmakers in the worst way.
Yes. So he would be on my list. Of course, Wimberly, I agree with that. Rohatch, I think you said three guys who most people would agree with. I would venture out and say Charles Rogers on the defensive end.
That's a very good one.
He's a guy who like Daly in that class, I think he would be the standout from that class on the defensive side. He is a guy who I think if needed could play next year quite a bit. I know he's played at the nickel. I know he's obviously a cornerback, but I think he, you know, we always seem like we're talking about these really good cornerbacks at Iowa State. There's usually one on every team. You know, Leonard Johnson. I think Jansen Watson's that guy this year. Reeves was so much better than what he gets credit for, but his size really held him back. I think Charles Rogers could be a really good three-year cornerback for Iowa State, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's tough. The defense really is hard to get standouts in the spring game, but again, I mean, Wally's even praised him too, and generally he tries to stay away from building up the young guys too much, but he's a guy who really stands out to me.
Yeah, and Wally, and it seems like just about every coach that you interview has something good to say about Charles Rogers.
Yeah,
so
he's a nice kid too. I mean, He's passionate about the game of football, from what I've gotten from Charlie.
And he's obviously a smart kid to move out of Iowa City to come to a better place in Ames. I mean, so the kid's obviously very bright.
I think I could agree with that.
Yeah. How about this one, Chris? How about Little Knot?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I think you know, how big has he gotten? How does he move out there in the field as a linebacker? Does he have his brother's athleticism? I think he'd be someone interesting to watch.
I think he'll be more. I think he'll look more athletic than Jake.
Is that just because he's smaller, though?
Yeah, I mean, he's a former option quarterback. I mean, he came in as a defensive back. I don't think everybody really thought Jake would ever be a defensive back. I think he looks more athletic than Jake already, and that's not a shot at Jake. It's obviously in my opinion, I would take Jake's size over the speed and athleticism. But I just feel like, I don't know, I look at these linebackers, especially if Knott's in the mix. I think Jevon Miller will be that guy, but if Knott's in the mix, if you put Knott, Bracken's two former safeties with Jeremiah George, who athleticism-wise is off the charts at middle linebacker, I just feel like it's kind of everything's going to look a little different next year. When you factor in the guys who they have on the defensive line, too, and who knows if it's for the better or not, but I just feel like not necessarily that Wally's going to change things up, but I think things look different on that defense.
I think so, too. I think even more so this year, too, we will play – you'll see completely different linebacker settings out there by teams we play.
Yep.
You know, you play in Iowa, you're going to get a Jeremiah George, Javon Miller, and throw in maybe an Alton Meeks, just a bigger linebacker who kind of stops the run. And then you go and you play against a spread offense in Oklahoma State. That's when you'll probably see the Knott and the Brackens out there, a little bit more speed guys that can kind of, you know, guard their slot receiver. So I think we're going to have a lot more options this year rather than always just having Knott and Klein on the field at all times.
They're going to try, according to Rhodes, in redshirt Alton Meeks.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I'm actually writing a story about that right now. It's not on the site yet. But
you got to let me know this before we go on the podcast. No, so I don't sound like, you know.
It'd be impossible for you to know this because I haven't written it yet. But I asked Rhodes yesterday. I just pointed out the fact that all three of the starting linebackers were never redshirted. And it seemed like, well, they like to use the term, when does the light come on?
Yeah.
Wally and Paul use that a lot. And for George, Jevon Miller, and Brackens, it's all been the spring before their junior years. And I asked, basically, is that a coincidence or does that have something to do with not getting the redshirt year? Paul went on to explain that it happens different times for different guys, which makes a lot of sense. But he also added how much he would like to have the extra year with those guys and that they would try to do that with Alton Meeks. Now, trying and actually doing it completely, they use those guys on special teams a lot, and it's hard for, you know, guys on the boards if you're not studying that to see that. But you know, here's what's frustrating about Jeremiah George. Guess how many tackles he had in his freshman and sophomore years combined?
10. I don't know. I'm just
four.
Talking. Four.
And that's a pretty good linebacker to only get four tackles out of in his first 2 years, right?
I would agree.
So to me, like if they can find a way to do that, I hope they can.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not like Alton Meeks came and was a linebacker stud in high school. He was a quarterback.
Correct.
So he's
got injured all the time.
Yeah. So he's got a big learning curve ahead of him. So I actually think that's really good news to hear that we might be in a position where we can redshirt him, because I wasn't sure if we'd be able to afford that.
Well, they haven't been for a long time at linebacker.
That's really good news in my opinion.
Linebackers have been a strength, a position strength for Iowa State, but it has not been deep, even with Knott and Klein.
No, it has not.
It has not been deep. They've had a lot of turnover there. A lot of guys leave the program for one reason or another, specifically at linebacker. So, yeah, if they could do that, I would be very, very happy about that. I think Jared Brackens is going to be a dude.
Do you?
Listen, I haven't seen him play. I haven't seen any of the scrimmages, but I've seen him walking around. I mean, he just looks jacked right now.
That sounds great.
Looks good, and he's confident. Very confident.
I have no idea what to expect from him.
Borderline cocky, but I don't have a problem with that.
No, you
got to
be cocky.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And Rhodes said, I think it was after Saturday, it was after one of the scrimmages, that he's probably the biggest surprise they've had in a positive way all spring on the entire team.
And we heard this a lot about Jeremiah George last year.
Correct.
And he backed it up on the football field last year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I actually don't think linebacker is going to be this big catastrophe. When you read all the preseason magazines that come out in June, that's probably what's going to be written. I actually don't buy it. I think Burnham coaches the guys up. I'm just, the D-line is what worries me.
Yeah. It's very inexperienced in the defensive line. That's another one. How are Bevins and Piraka going to look out there? the younger defensive tackles.
I mean, I think that these guys physically are fine. They're 270, which is still a little light
That's
for
small.
D-tackle.
That's small.
But I think that they are, you know, it all comes down to it's really hard to play that close to the ball when you're that young. It's brutal. There's a reason why not many guys do that, even 4 or 5 star guys. And it's going to be difficult. I don't know. I really hope that Rodney Coe can come in and be the guy they want him to be on that defensive line.
Because then what you're asking of a guy like Bevins is maybe just spell a couple plays here or there.
Correct.
Rather than being the main guy there. And
if
then,
Coe can come in and be as good as they want him to, they think he can be, it changes the whole aspect of the team.
Absolutely.
It changes everything. Because I think they're fine at D end.
Fine. Not great.
They're
fine.
Not great, but I think they're fine. As good as they have been, I don't think you're taking a big drop off. I mean,
yeah.
Because Willie Scott's, he's Willie Scott. You know what you're going to get from him. Assuming that he'll be playing next year.
Which I think he will be.
He should be, yeah. I would think. Morrissey, you would think, takes a big step forward from last year to this year.
Has he gotten any bigger?
You know, I had to look into that. I can give you his weight. I got the depth chart right in front of me. Give me 1 second.
I remember that was a big deal about how you said he looked cut, but he was a thin, strong-looking defensive end. I wonder if they put about 10, 15 pounds on
him. He's at 250.
That's not bad.
No, it's not. I mean, he's still heavier than Willie Scott.
Yeah, Willie Scott's, what, 6'1", though? He's not very tall.
6'2".
So that means he's about 6 feet tall.
I think Nick Crone's a guy who, I think when he's been out there, I like his motor. Nick Crone.
Is he kind of like a Neil?
He exactly who I would compare him to.
Yeah.
And I would compare Mitch Myers to that, too.
You know what? Mitch Myers is a guy that we forget about, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he started at D-tackle.
Yeah.
They moved him to the outside.
Which is very, that's generally the complete opposite of what they do.
He's 6'4", 253. And you remember David Irving, we haven't even talked about.
And he's been out all spring.
Missing the spring, that's a killer for him, though.
He needs
they
a lot of work.
They needed him out there.
Yeah, they do.
Because I'm not all in on Irving like everybody else.
I love David Irving.
Well, I
love
think he could be good, but he needs to be out there right now.
He does.
That's a killer.
He is, you know, maybe a Nick Crone motor away from being just elite.
I would agree with that. Some of the plays that he just makes, you know, he right in that elite range. But he just, you got to do it more than once every 4 weeks.
That play he made against TCU, we've never had a player make that play ever.
No,
that was a phenomenal play.
When's that light going to come on for David Irving's the question.
Well, hopefully this is his third spring. Hopefully this is it right here.
I hope so.
But, of course, he's not practicing this spring, so that hurts.
I hope so, because that young man could play in the league if he – that light's got to come on soon, though.
Yeah.
It's got to come on.
What's his injury? Shoulder?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah. Which I didn't even know anything about until –
about a week ago?
No, until spring practice started. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of intangibles with this line that makes you go, maybe it'll be better than we think, but – they're intangibles. You just don't quite know. I have no idea. Rodney Coe, I think, is going to be pretty good, but we don't know. He's a JUCO.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially on the line like that. It's very difficult to be able to sit here and say, before he's on campus, if that guy can play or not. I don't know. But I hope so. And Irving, I think, is kind of in the same boat. I mean, I think that he can do those things, but can he do it play after play? I don't know.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Piraka, I like a lot.
Do you like Piraka?
Yeah, I like him. He's a smart kid. He's like aerospace engineer major or something like
that. Wow.
He's way smarter than us combined.
A lot better than my communications major, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Journalism. Double and poli-sci. Really using that one every day.
You know, there's one other player I'd really wish we could have seen, but we're not going to be able to see, is E.J. Bibbs. Manuel Bibbs.
All the tight ends, they're all hurt.
Yeah. So
I don't know what they're going to do, but Jeff Woody will play tight end all day probably on Saturday.
The kid's a warrior. Just put him anywhere.
I love Jeff Woody, man.
Just put him anywhere and he's happy.
He just wants
to help the football team win.
You know, I talked to Jeff then after he graduates, doing a little analysis for Cyclone Fanatic next year during spring ball.
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be awesome, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would be. He'd be phenomenal at it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's going to be a captain this year, probably James White captain.
Yeah, those two would stand out at me. You'd like to think Richardson. I like my quarterback to be a captain.
I would agree with you.
I'd like to think that his third year, he could be a captain. Jeremiah George would probably be a captain.
So there's your four right there?
Yeah, or do you need to spread it out? Do you
what
need
about,
two and two?
What about Washington?
Jaquez, yeah.
So you probably know Richardson.
Jacquez is a very well-liked individual, too.
Yeah.
You know, Willie Scott would be a guy who would pop out at me, but I don't know. The whole little deal last week probably hinders him on that. Dion Broomfield?
He could definitely.
He could be a captain.
Really nice kid as well. How about.
What about Vanderkamp?
Come on. Stop.
Come on.
Stop.
Come on. You're a hater on the specialists.
Just they should just be feel fortunate they're on the team. I'm kidding. That's people perfect. Take that. Yeah. Don't take that too serious.
I like Vanderkamp.
No, he's a great punter. Our punters have been our MVPs for how many seasons now?
Do you remember the McCarney years where the punter legitimately was the MVP in some of those games?
He was like Kobe stepping up to the free throw line where they chanted MVP every time he went out to punt.
Brainer. Honest to God, I think you could make an argument. Maybe not last year because Vanderkamp didn't have a great second half of the season. There were how many games, though, in the last 3 years did Iowa State win the field because of the field position battle, though?
Oh.
Vanderkamp flipping fields. We joke about him being the MVP, but in a lot of those games,
I don't joke.
You could totally make that argument and not sound like an idiot, too. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
MVP, if you're putting him on the offense, because, you know, then absolutely I would say he's been MVP.
Because there's
games.
Been so many, like, three and outs with the off, you know what I mean? Like, it's been horrible.
There's certain games where we had 8 out of 13 of our series were three and outs.
Correct.
And so he's punting 8, 9, 10 times in a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he.
We joke about Vanderkamp, but.
I wouldn't trade him for anyone.
No, that dude's legit. He could. It's very hard to get a punting job in the NFL.
Yeah, there's not many of them available.
But he's a guy who my old buddy Mike Brantner is the one who tells me this. Because I don't pretend to act like I know a lot about punting. Brantner thinks that he could be an NFL punter.
Well, Brantner was a great punter in his
Brantner could have been as well, but man, that's a grind, though, because none of those guys retire. They all punt till they're like 90.
Yeah, there's no – I mean, they're not getting hit.
No. Offensive line is not a position that many people watch at the spring game, but I'll have a brief eye on – I don't even care what they look like at this point. I just want to know who's playing where after the Siobhan Dica news that broke on Saturday. Because I feel like this, and this is just – nobody's told me this, full disclosure here, but – at what point do you move Gannon back to guard to fill in the Siobhan Dica injury and just say, all right, Brock Daigle, go on that left tackle?
I think.
Or you put Locke. I know Locke has taken some snaps at guard. Is he ready? Jamison Locke out of Council Bluffs
guy, yeah.
I mean, for real, like, this line deal is a little bit scary. I mean, we don't know anything about it. That's why it's scary. I'm not even saying they could legitimately be a lot better than they were last year. You've got the new coach. You've got a lot of moving parts here. We just don't know where anybody's going to be playing now.
Yeah, and I can't sit here and tell you I think Locke is a perfect guard versus tackle. I don't know. But I know as a coach, at this point, when you have a couple injuries, like you just got to put your best five linemen
That's
on the field.
That's my point.
You just got to find your best five, and you got to make it work.
If I'm going to move a guy around position-wise, I mean, Gannon's played guard the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I know left tackle's kind of a big deal, and I'm not Kyle Lichtenberg's playing tackle for the first time on the right side. The tackle positions could be a major weakness for and I don't know. I mean, Lichtenberg, like I say, he's never played there. I don't know what he's going to look like. He's played there some, but not –
filling in for an injury
Correct.
For a couple plays, yeah.
Again, I'm not down on the line. I don't know anything about them. That's the thing. It's a little bit scary. I guess it's a little bit exciting, too. I don't know much about these guys.
Well, I don't know if you remember the spring game last year or not, but the defense just dialed up blitzes all spring game, and it should have been an early indicator to us as Iowa State fans that our line was really going to struggle because our quarterbacks couldn't get throws off last spring game. They were throwing off their back foot a lot because people were in their face all game. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how the line looks. If the line looks good on Saturday, I think that's a good sign because you know as well as I do that Shane Burnham and Wally Burnham, they want to win that scrimmage.
Yeah.
And they are going to be dialing up their blitzes. They're going to be putting pressure on the quarterback, and they want to win. So it's not like they're going out playing some vanilla defense. So if the offensive line can stop them, slow them down a little bit, maybe make some big runs, I think that's a good sign. And if they can't, I think it's a lot to be worried about.
We need to get Ben Bruns here on the podcast because for real, I mean, it. Offensive line is it's a situation where, and I say this all the time, I probably sound like a broken record, but I don't really care. It's very hard to know unless you are an expert at that, to be able to look at these guys and be like, okay, see that guy's legit, that guy's weak, he's soft, whatever.
He missed an assignment, he didn't.
Yeah. It is extremely hard for the casual fan to be able to pick that apart.
I agree.
Very hard.
I agree.
So that's the thing, like, when I don't know about this line. I have no clue. I have no clue the changes, because I guarantee there are some that Klonakis is bringing to the table. I don't know.
Have we heard from Klonakis yet and his thoughts in the offensive line?
They kind of tucked him away.
Did they?
His availability, I have it right up here. He's on Friday night before the spring game. It's really tough to hear much from him. I mean, I'll show up and everything, but
it's very interesting, Klonakis, in the standpoint of, he comes in as an offensive line coach, and we're completely changing our offense from the sounds of what Sam Richardson said yesterday, and we'll see a majority of our snaps will be from the pistol formation.
Yeah, I wonder if Sam was supposed to say that or not.
Yeah, that was a very interesting comment by him.
Because it just came out of nowhere.
So is he an offensive line coach who's also kind of like a co-offensive coordinator? I mean, this is obviously his offense. This is not a Courtney Messingham offense that we're installing. So it's very interesting that he comes in as an offensive line coach and we completely change our offense.
I don't know. Maybe it's like Todd Sturdy's the passing game coordinator.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like the running game coordinator or something. I don't know.
And then what's Messingham?
He's the coordinator. He's the overall coordinator, the play caller. I don't know. I'm just saying that. Nobody's told me that. That's not on the record or anything.
It'll be interesting come Saturday to see what the pistol looks like and how well they do blocking. How well our running backs hit the hole.
It makes life a lot easier on the running back. All these guys are saying this. And it makes sense if you think about how they're breaking it down.
Well, especially, I mean, when you have that read option, they're almost starting from a standstill rather than running up towards the line as a pistol. I'm not a pistol expert, but they're going to have a good 2-3 steps of sprinting ahead, running. To me, that's got to help break some runs open.
It's more difficult for the defense to cheat is the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Because when you're not in the pistol, there's a running back lined up on one side of the quarterback. Now he's behind it. I don't know. We're all learning together.
And if you're Oregon and a team's cheating against you, that's fine because you got guys that run 4.3 40s out there that even if they cheat, you're still going to outrun them.
In Oregon.
We're not Oregon. So we got to – I've always said for Iowa State to be really successful, I thought we needed to be a more traditional offense. And in a sense, pistol's a lot more traditional offense than a shotgun read option. So I'm excited to see it personally.
Sit and wait. Yep. Sit and wait. All right. A lot more spring game stuff coming up later in the week, working on a couple things. Talking a little NFL draft now.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk much about this because you hear this junk everywhere. You're a closet Notre Dame fan.
No, I'm not a closet. I tell people. I tell people all the time.
It would be really hard for somebody to know that just by listening to you here on the podcast, though. We're both Vikings fans. And there's a lot of steam. I mean, I've had Mel Kiper on while I've been working here this morning. They're like, all I'm hearing is Vikings and Bears. Which one's going to get Manti Te'o? Do you want the Vikings to draft him? You've seen him play a lot more than I have. I've seen him play maybe twice. I don't think I really want a piece of that.
I don't either. I mean, I think Te'o's a nice player.
He's your boy, though.
Even as a Notre Dame fan, I was saying all last year, he should not have been at the height. He should not have been a Heisman Trophy finalist.
That was ridiculous. But
I think the only reason he was because of the circumstances that ended up not being true about his girlfriend passing away. And he was just a sentimental story at the time. And he also happened to be a good football player at Notre Dame when they were undefeated.
Boy, the media is a powerful thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You media people you guys can twist the story anyway.
We get a hold of something and
just run with it.
See ya.
You know, but, I mean, he's a nice player. I would not like the Vikings to take him in the first round. No, I would not.
I don't want him either.
If they got him in the second round, sure, that'd be great. You don't want him at all? I mean, if they had Manti Te'o on the team, you don't want him.
No, I don't want him.
Really?
I don't want him.
No, see, I'm not going to go with you on that. I would be just fine if he was on my team. I would not waste a first-round draft pick on him.
If I'm going to draft a middle linebacker at 23 or whatever it is, 25, or I'm not even sure of the pick.
Somewhere in the 20s.
Yeah. I want, like, a beast. I'd rather have Arthur Brown at Kansas State than Manti Te'o.
Arthur Brown's not a beast. He's speed. He's not a beast, though. Not in the NFL, he's not a beast.
What did Manti Te'o run, like a 6 on his 40?
I think he ran something similar to what I did, like a 6.2, 40.
No, you know what I mean, though? Like, he's undersized. I don't draft by intangibles at 23 for a middle linebacker in the NFL draft. I'm sorry. Give me a freak.
You know what, though? What did Ray Lewis run in the 40s the last, like,
Everybody
5 years?
Everybody compares him to Ray Lewis.
No.
I do not see the same
ministry. No, he's not. I'm not comparing him to Ray
Others
Lewis.
Others do, though.
Well, they might. I'm not, though. I'm just saying, a 40 for a middle linebacker. What did Jesse Smith run at his 40 in Iowa State?
I don't know. Jesse Smith's not an NFL talent.
But,
I mean,
but what I'm saying is he was still all Jesse, he was all Big 12 running a 5.240. I mean, whatever. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Jesse. I'm sure he ran faster than that. But he wasn't fast. He was slow. For a middle linebacker, he was slow. Manti Te'o is not slow. He's very average as a middle linebacker.
I don't want him.
Speed. Okay, that's fine.
I don't want him. I would rather... I have the same stance for the Vikings that I did last year, and that is, obviously there's holes on defense. There's holes everywhere, but do whatever you can to make Christian Ponder's life easier. If you're going to go with that guy, and if you're going to make that investment in your franchise, do whatever you got to do. If it's...
They gave him a left tackle last year.
Yeah, I know, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like, do whatever you got to do. I wouldn't mind trading up and getting to Tavon Austin. I don't know. But I do whatever you got to do to make Christian Ponder's life easier,
and use Tavon Austin like you use Percy Harvin.
Correct.
Yeah, that I'd be just fine with that.
And I don't know. I'm not. I will start. I don't really get into this draft stuff until the week of. Generally, that's just how I'm wired because it has to do with spring football a lot too. But like, whatever you got to do to give Christian Ponder the best chance, they got him the tight end. Whatever, I don't care. Make his life easier.
I agree with
Everything else will take care, because if you've got a quarterback, you can win. Everything else will take care of itself.
Do you think Christian Ponder is a quarterback that can ever win a Super Bowl for the Minnesota Vikings?
If Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, then I think Christian Ponder can.
Okay. So if you are going off of that comparison, then you...
Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl.
Then you absolutely got to build up your defense, because Trent Dilfer did not win it with offense. That offense was terrible.
And that's a very fair critique of my analysis there. I get that. But I also know that with what they have right now at receiver, they're not going to score points. And there's no way they're going to build that defense up before Adrian Peterson is all said and done to the Baltimore Raven level of 2000 or whatever it is in just a couple of years. Because AP's going to slow down.
The Vikings are a very weird team going into the next year, because last year when Percy Harvin went down with an injury, me and you sat here and we looked and they're done. They're done. They're not going to win another game. And all of a sudden they win all these games. They go to the playoffs. And now they're those Percy... Now they lose Percy Harvin again.
It was a fluke. They are not a playoff team last year. That was a joke.
I thought they'd win four games last year. I really thought they'd win four games.
Well, because you and I were going to get season tickets, which is the stupidest move of our life to not do that. We would have made a lot of money.
You need to get over this.
I'm still mad about it.
I know you are.
Because here's the deal, Fanatics. So I called Gray up like 2 weeks before the season. I'm like, dude, Vikings season ticket, they're just giving these things away. We could have got them for what, like $200?
They weren't that much.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even think they were that much.
They were cheap. We could have got
it for below $200. And my point was to get in on the list for the new stadium, and then we could sell. You sell the Bears and the Packers games, and you make money, and you just sell them to Bear and Packer fans. And I'm not above that, by the way. If I can turn a profit on it, I'm absolutely going to let a Packers fan into the Metro.
Would you let a Hawkeye fan into Jack Trice Stadium for the Iowa State-Iowa game to make a profit?
I'm working. It's not my... I don't have tickets.
Okay, but if you were a fan, would you do that?
It depends on how much profit.
See, because I'm with you. In a professional game, I have no problem letting Packer fans into that. At a college event,
it's a free market.
Okay, all right. But back to this, me not buying the tickets. You need to throw out the fact that I was having a kid, okay?
It's $200.
But I wasn't going to make it to the games. I had a newborn.
Point is, we blew it. Because prices, think about what prices will be this year. Probably doubled.
Probably doubled.
And now everybody's going to want to get in on the list because it was a stupid move. Because we were down in Memphis watching the Packers game at the end of the year.
We could have sold that.
We would have made our money back on that game alone.
I completely agree with you. And you reminded me about every chance you could when we were in Memphis.
I'm still torked, but I understand. I hope Owen's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing
great. Since you were a great dad on the four Sundays that you had to stay home. Jiminy Christmas.
NFL Sunday ticket, though. I still didn't miss a game. So
the best purchase I've ever made, I think, was the baseball package this year. I've enjoyed it so much.
Well, especially because, I mean, the Braves won, what, 10 in a row?
Did you see last night?
Yeah, I saw last night.
It's unbelievable.
Justin Upton's just absolutely raking it right now. You know, last year we sat here and we were talking about how they were going to win 140 games. This week I might sit here and say 150. I mean, I don't know if they're going to lose again, Chris.
They could go 161-1 still. That actually, I hate it when the Braves and the Royals play. It's not very often. It does tear me to pieces, though.
Does it?
I was talking about Ashley with this when we were watching the game last night, because when the Braves started hitting all those bombs, I got a little bit excited, obviously. But I always like going into those games, because full disclosure, I love the Royals. Grew up 2 hours from Kansas City. I listened to Denny Matthews on the radio with my grandma. I mean, it's a big part of my childhood. They were always my AL team. I'm a big Braves fan. I'm a TVS generation guy. But I have a special place in my heart for the Kansas City Royals. And every time they play, going into those games, I'm like, man, this is going to suck. I don't want to root against anybody. And then once the first pitch, like, I'm rooting like hell against the Royals. Die hard Braves guy.
Yeah. I mean, I never, ever don't cheer for the Braves. I don't even know what to say to that comment. But, no, I mean, I do like the Royals, too. I grew up, George Brett was my favorite player growing up.
George Brett is kind of a jerk. Did you know
that? He's a huge jerk.
Yeah.
But as a 5- and 6-year-old kid, George Brett was the man. I had a George Brett instructional hitting video. That's how I learned how to hit off a tee, was a George Brett instructional hitting video.
George Brett, I got to get my buddy Reagan on here. Nephew of Kim Poole and Heartland Finishes.
Yeah.
Heartland Finishes, good sponsor, Cyclone Fanatic. Reagan here, he's a good buddy of mine. He's got a George Brett story. He's still got a vendetta against the Royals to this day.
Just because of George Brett, huh?
I'm pretty sure he's a Yankees fan.
Yeah?
I'm almost positive he's a Yankees fan just to spite the Royals from back in the day. And he's, like, very open about it to this day. He goes to – a lot of people go to Royals games because it's so close. But, like, Reagan will go there and sport the Yankees hat, like if the Royals are playing the Indians or whatever, just to spite George Brett. Because Brett snubbed him on an autograph when he was like 6.
And he just still doesn't forget. That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure, too, there was a story, and I got to get it summed up from Reagan. Because he went to opening the Royals home opener, and I was reading it on his Facebook wall. And he's still spiteful towards the Royals to this day about it. I think Brett even may have sworn.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Like, dropped I don't know what bomb it was, but he dropped some sort of a bomb that was very offensive to Reagan's family, and they all hate the Royals to this day. I love it.
That's like, I actually want to hear the actual story from Reagan.
I'll get it. Maybe we can get Reagan to call in via cell phone at the next podcast to really let it. But, I mean, it was bad enough, man, to this day, Reagan's like 30 now.
Do we have the technology to get Reagan on one end and then maybe get George Brett? I don't know if you have any connections to get George Brett. I want to hear them go back and forth on this.
I have interviewed George Brett before.
Does he remember you think?
No. He wasn't a bad guy.
I know I hear he's a jerk and he swears a lot, but in my opinion, George Brett is always going to be the man just because I grew up watching George Brett.
Well, you know, I grew up watching a lot of bad people too, though.
Yeah.
I was a George Brett fan. I'm just telling you what Reagan.
Yeah.
My buddy Reagan. He.
I think it's a fantastic story.
I just think it's hilarious. He became a Yankees fan despite George Brett.
But why the Yankees? Why not someone in their division?
They're like the polar opposite of the Royals, though.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if I'm a Royals fan and I want to choose someone I would become a White Sox fan. Or someone in that division.
It's a lot easier when you're a kid in Clarinda, Iowa to
cheer for the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, they're on TV all the time.
That's true. That's true. And they were winning World Series growing up, man, like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Wow, we got way off topic, but that's okay.
Back on topic, Cyclone Fanatics. The Braves are a lock to win the World Series. They are, what, 11-1, 12-1 right now, Chris?
No, they're 12-1. It's a stone-cold lock. There's really no questions about it.
They are phenomenal right now.
I pray that they get the Cardinals in the playoffs. Most people would be like, oh, I want to avoid the Cardinals. Not me.
No.
I want to take the bull by the horn.
How many tweets are you and Billy Finley going to be tweeting back and forth?
Do you remember that game last year?
I do. I was at your house.
Yeah, I got into it with the Finleys on Twitter after that.
Yeah.
Because they're all like, oh, Cardinals fans are way more classy than that. That would never happen there. Yeah, right. I've been to St. Louis wearing a Braves hat before. Classy is the last thing I would think of when I think about that experience. Oh, my gosh. That was horrible. Adam Carper and I were down there. Braves lost. And we had these jack wagons follow us all the way back to our car going, oh, They're taunting us the whole way to the car.
Carper and Turner just pick him up and throw him?
He should have.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Carper.
Yeah. He should have.
You would have been right there behind him to back him up.
Kicked the guy when he was down and then ran off like a little girl. That's how I roll.
Now, you know, you hope that they play the Cardinals in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't. I hope the Cardinals finish dead last in the NL Central.
Hey, no. I hope they play the Cardinals in the NLCS.
No, I don't even
sweep them.
I don't even want the Cardinals to make the playoffs.
I'm so tired of the Cardinal fans.
Exactly. Give me dead last. I don't want to hear from Cardinal fans after June. After June, I don't want to hear from them at all.
The Fenways are fun. I like.
Oh,
I love John
family.
With
yeah.
the Fenways. Bloom drives me nuts, though. He's so arrogant about the Cardinals. Just utter arrogance. We were talking. Bloom and I went to the Barnstormers game the other night.
Yeah.
And we're talking about just how awesome the Braves are. And Bloom's like, and I'm basically saying, yeah, it's a lock. Go ahead and just book it in the World Series. I'm going to take that week off from work just so I can watch the Braves in the World Series. And Bloom's like, well, I don't know. They're you know, they strike out too much. And I, whatever, you know, this is just Bloom trying to be,
sure,
trying to rain on my parade. And I go, who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him? He goes, I Cardinals got a shot. You know, just utter arrogance by Bloom. The audacity to think that they could beat the Braves in that outfield. Give me a break. Lowest ERA in baseball.
That'd be a sweep. That would be. I mean, they would sweep them for sure. You know
what?
That's
why I think it'd be a great matchup.
We're also talking about Brent Bloom, the same Brent Bloom who said that the refs that did the Iowa State Kansas game was an A-plus crew. Okay, I mean,
well,
so that whatever
granted,
he says,
he said that before, before the tip.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is, whatever this guy, he's also saying before the playoffs.
I can't talk because I'm wrong about like 80% of what I talk about and write about. So I can't talk about that. I can't. I'm always wrong.
You don't have to admit that though.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're
go,
still listening.
Just go back and delete the tweets.
You're still listening. All right, we need to wrap this up. We're pushing an hour right now. But a reminder that we're going to have that special radio show, preview show for the spring game that starts at 12:45. We go till 1:45. Come hang out. Actually, it's cool. The Gridiron Club has a little barbecue. It's right where we always do our radio shows, right there at the Jacobson Building. And they have, like, barbecue, and I think it's, like, $10. And the proceeds go to the Gridiron Club. But it's a good deal. We will be there probably around noon is when Tron and I are going to show up. Tron will have the big Tundra. And, again, thanks to our friends at Channel Seed, channel.com. Give them a look today. Anything from you, Adam? Anything else?
Yeah. Jump on our website. Print off the golf tournament form and
yes.
get that sent out. We got the Cyclone Fanatic Golf Tournament May 17th at Coldwater Golf Links. We got tons of prizes right now. I mean, I got people sending in prizes. Budget Golf, just talked to Ryan Liberty there, Budget Golf. Big Iowa State fan, Iowa State grad. He's sending in coupons and prizes from them. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Are we putting together a nice little ring, a nice little team, Chris? Is there any news
there's
on that?
There's speculation that a couple of linebackers, future NFL linebackers, who have to go unnamed at this point because I have a soft verbal commitment.
Are they getting visits from anyone else? Is anyone else?
No, they're soft verbal. We're the only place they're visiting. It's going to depend on their schedules. But I will say this. There's a round of trash talk going on via text message between numbers 47 and 20. Apparently, there's a bit of a rivalry there on the golf course.
You know, my younger brother's golf with him. He says 47's garbage. Just garbage. You text him and you tell him I said that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's what 20 tells me, too. But 47 is pretty clear that he's the better golfer. So there's a soft verbal there. Soft verbals from some coaches. We're going to have an all-star cast, though. We'll get it pulled together. May 17th. Get that stuff in there because it's starting to fill up, right?
It is starting to fill up.
Yeah. We have a limited number of spots available. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Remember, a lot of spring game coverage coming up on the website. For Adam Gray, I am Chris Williams, and saying so long.
Go Cyclones.